His answering prayers can, for a season, even look quite negative. Now, the danger is that we begin to intercede, but we're doing it in sympathy or even in emotions. And at that point, God, who answers the prayer of faith, sadly has to move back. And a lot of our prayers and intercessions are hindered because we've allowed emotions, sympathy, we've allowed the mind, the intellect to get in the way, and at that point, God will move back. You no longer are identified with God at that point, which is the key to intercession. Whenever we step back from our identification with God and His interests and His concerns for others, we step into having emotional sympathy with what we're praying for. And the vital connection with all of that is hindered. And that is why we can't break through. That is why we're not touching God. Many times, brothers and sisters, intercession is a form of prayer where you touch God. And that is an experience in the Spirit. You become so one, identified, when you are being led by the Holy Spirit, that you know when God has heard. You know that when you get up from your knees, God has heard that intercession. You become one with the high priest who is interceding, the perfect will of God. And that is what God is wanting to work with us in this assembly and our prayers. He wants us now to start to move deeper with Him, with prayers. Because the further we go along in this walk, and we know we're facing the giants of the land, we know that the church is moving forward, the bride is making herself ready, we have got to couple that with real prayer and intercession, where we are touching Almighty God. We are one in prayer and intercession with Him. And this, of course, is where the power of praying in the Spirit is so important. There are so many believers today just do not understand that tongues, speaking in the Spirit, is so vital to intercession. But it doesn't just stop there. There's more to it, which of course we're revealing tonight. We have to let our identification with the Lord become, if you like, an experience with God. As we are one with Him and we get into prayer, so our identification with Him should be something that we are experiencing, looking for, believing for, pressing in for. And this is why I'm a great believer that in prayer you give yourself time before God. You can't always just come into God's presence and switch it on. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes when we're moving into intercession, we're waiting on God, or we're inquiring of God. We're waiting on God to show us how to pray in that situation. Many times we have to come before Almighty God and we have to acknowledge the fact, Lord, I don't know how to pray unless you reveal it to me. I don't know how to pray for this brother or this sister unless you enlighten, unless the Holy Spirit reveals to me your perfect will for that situation or that person or whatever it is. We don't know how to pray, and that's the humbling fact of a believer. So many believers at times come arrogantly in God's presence and that they know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. The disciples even asked the Lord, teach us how to pray. They were seeing something of Jesus' ministry, and they were beginning to learn that prayer was the key to his ministry, and they were beginning to understand that, yet so many believers don't even see this. Many believers only pray when they go to church on Sunday. That's their prayer life. But it's so much more than that. And so very often our attitude coming into the presence of Almighty God in our closet is that we wait on Him, because our waiting on Him is that we may be led by the Holy Spirit how to pray the perfect will of God. And it takes time sometimes for Him to reveal to us in our intercessions and in our prayer. We are not always going to get it straight away. That is the whole point, you see. And that's why we have to put our concerns, our emotions, our feelings, our sympathy, we have to put them away. Because if we don't deal with our emotions, our carnal mind, what we think is prayer, we're actually, in effect, rebuking God and saying to Him, I know better in this situation how to pray. And how many of us have done that? That we think we know how to pray, and in many ways, by praying that, we're actually rebuking God and not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, because we've allowed fear, anxiety, worry, feelings, sympathy, emotions to get in the way. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we have to spend time in God's presence so He deals with us, so that we can then begin to hear from God. Be still and know that I am God. That is what a person who is learning how to pray will do and will cultivate. That stillness. Being still before God's presence and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide. It's absolutely vital. It's impossible to also to, I believe, intercede unless we are completely sure of God and our preconceived ideas or what we think is right is all put to one side. We need to be sure how God is leading us. You see, our carnal mind and discernment destroys intercession. And that's why a lot of Christians sadly don't intercede or can't intercede. And the reason they can't do this, they can't enter into it, is because of the carnal mind. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to change and deliver the mind. We know only too well where Satan attacks. He attacks man's mind. Why does he attack man's mind? Because he doesn't want man to pray the prayer of faith. He doesn't want man to intercede and identify with God in intercession. And that's why he will try to hold us in fear and anxiety and a carnal discernment of what we think we know is of God. We need to be very, very sensitive, brothers and sisters. We need to really wait on God, because otherwise we're just telling God, I know better than you. But I believe identification with God is the key. And when we stop our identification with him, it's because often it's sympathy, it's emotions, it's flesh. And often we'll say, I will not allow that thing to happen to my brother or sister. And then we're out of the vital connection and will with God. In other words, I'm coming in prayer and I'm going to stand in the gap and I'm not going to let that happen to my brother or sister. Lord, don't let them go through that trial. Don't let them believe that or whatever it is. But we're finding at times it's the flesh that's getting in the way. So often we need to ask God, how do I pray for my brother? How do I pray for my sister? If we started to wait on God and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal, because this is primarily what I'm talking about tonight in Ephesians 6:18, it's praying for the saints, we will start to see many more breakthroughs. But so often we're still praying by what we see with our eyes, or what maybe somebody tells us about somebody else. This is why we need to guard our tongues with each other, because we can so influence a brother or sister by something that we can say, whether it can be gossip or even a lie, sadly, or just in the flesh. And that person, what they heard, can start to take that before God and start to intercede about what they've heard, but that isn't the will of God. That causes a lot of problems. It hinders. But not only that, it brings you out of identification with God at that point in prayer and intercession. And if you don't check that, if you don't repent of that and deal with that, you're going to find eventually you'll get so fed up and frustrated with prayer that you'll just not bother anymore. And I know that's one of the reasons why people don't pray or don't come to the prayer meeting, because they've gotten out in the flesh. Nothing's happening. No prayers are being answered. I'm fed up with it. It doesn't take long, brothers and sisters, to find out what can be blocking. Vital intercession doesn't give you the time to keep praying for our self and our needs and what we want. Intercession here and praying for others and for the saints is not about yourself, your needs, or what you want. You're coming to that place where getting delivered from anxiety and fear, you just know that God will provide. He will give all your needs and everything. And that is freeing you up so that you can really start to pray for the real things, and above all, pray for others. The sacrifice of intercession, identification with God, is praying not for yourself, but the sacrifice of praying on behalf of someone else, or a brother or sister in the assembly. That is the sacrifice of prayer. That is really pressing in, not bothering about yourself, but consumed and concerned about your brother, your sister, their welfare, their stand, their walk with God, that they may be right with God. That is intercession. True intercession keeps you identified with God's interests and concerns for others. Again, that's vital. Are you in tune tonight with God, that you know God's concerns and interests for others and also for those in the body of Christ? Are you so sensitive to that? Are you attuned to that tonight? We should be. If we're not, then this tells us why we're not going on. We're not growing in true unity and oneness and fellowship. Because we're all still consumed in self, my needs, my wants. This is why he gives us discernment in the lives of others, to intercede. It's not to find fault with them, to be critical, but he opens our ears and eyes and hearts. He gives us that discernment so that we can intercede effectively. Most things that God reveals to us in intercessions is a personal thing, and it's between you and God, and very often is not even to be discussed amongst others. Now, there is a place, of course, in prayer where sometimes one has to agree. But a lot of intercession is where God has revealed it to you personally. Why? Because you're the right person to stand in the gap and intercede. If you start mentioning this to somebody else, they will not have that same understanding, sensitivity, or praying that you have. That's one of the reasons. That's why it is so important when God reveals to you what to intercede and pray. And also at this point, when one is praying and interceding, that we also need to watch our confession when we're in intercession. Make sure that when you are praying for someone, you're praying for their healing, deliverance, or whatever it would be, that your confession, your belief is lining up with that person you're praying for. How can you intercede and pray, then get up off your knees and start speaking contrary, the opposite to what you have just been praying and led and inspired by the Holy Spirit? What a contradiction. So again, we do need to be careful and sensitive on these things. But none of these things, brothers and sisters, will ever happen or change unless you ask God to do it in your life. The challenges of our teachings week after week is that we are brought to the end of ourselves, where we realize it doesn't lie in us, and it lies in God as we call upon him to change us and work these godly affections. That's the purpose of teaching. The purpose of teaching and the challenge of God's word is always to bring us to the end of ourselves, where we still may be holding on or trying to do it in the flesh or whatever it would be. But turning to God as we hear the word, Father, I cannot do this, but please work this through me for your glory. When you start approaching the word of God like that, you are well on the way for real change and breakthrough spiritually. Nobody can keep God's word. Nobody can keep the principles of discipleship, its cost and everything. God knows that. Even the disciples saw that. Who can be saved? And this is where it comes back to faith. It comes back to asking God to do it in and through us. But he says you have not because you ask not. You ask amiss. In other words, we're asking for the wrong things. And that's really, again, what I'm trying to show tonight. Our identification with God is the key to intercession. So much of our we're not being identified with God is because we're asking amiss. We're asking the wrong things. God doesn't get it wrong. God's word is true. prayer is true. He says, ask and you shall receive. But he's teaching us how to really ask. Most of us yet don't really know how to properly ask. But if we stay with this, and we listen tonight, not with just our heads but our hearts, we're going to learn something pretty great tonight through this teaching. You mark my words. There's something here that we know very, very well, but turn with me to James, remembering that tonight it's talking about praying for the saints, praying one for another, praying in the Spirit, interceding. As it says in James 5, chapter 5, let's look at verses 13 to 18. We all know this well, but this is something we often meet and face. As he says in James chapter 5, 13 onwards, if anyone among you suffers, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them or him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses or sins to one another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And it goes on about Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. Now, something interesting here in this. If you are interceding, you know you're identified with God in your prayer intercession, and then if you know there is sin or weakness with a brother or sister, intercede that they will see it. Intercede that they will see that sin or that weakness, because if they don't see it, they won't get healed. They won't get raised up. They won't get delivered, if indeed that is the case. Because that is primarily what James is on about. And so very often, we need to intercede, not get our emotions in the way, but to get into prayer, Father, I am praying that my brother will see the sin that is hindering there, that's hindering his life, or causing sickness, or causing him not to break through and be blessed as he could. I'm standing in the gap here now and interceding and praying that you will be glorified in delivering him by start opening his eyes. Because when your eyes and heart are open to sin, if you truly then see it, what comes next? Confession. Bringing that sin before the throne of grace that the blood of Christ can cleanse and deal with that sin. So much of intercession prayer is in the nature of sin, weakness. That is why Christ has taken his place at the right hand of the Father as intercessor, because he's dealing primarily with sin, rebellion, disobedience, flesh, those things that hinder our Heavenly Father from blessing us with. That's what he's ever working day and night, never stops for 1 second in his ministry, supplicating, interceding on behalf of us. So we likewise do what he does. We emulate Christ, we copy him, we walk like him. We pray like Him. We believe like Him. We love like Him. We minister like Him. He is our role model. We are united, identified with Him. We can do nothing without Him. We know nothing unless He reveals. So our praying is also exactly the same. When we get before God in our closet, Father, I desire to be sensitive this day to what is on your heart, what is your will, what you are saying. Please reveal this to me so that I can pray this through, so that you will be glorified, so that my brother will be raised up, my brother will be healed, my brother will be blessed. Whatever is maybe hindering him or her or whatever it is. That is what James is all about. Yet so often we can miss that. And many, many times what God is revealing to you is between you and Almighty God. It is not to be shed abroad. It's not to be gossiped about or criticized about. It's you standing in the gap. It's you saying, Father, this could be me who's trapped in this way. But you set me free because somebody took the time to intercede and stand in the gap for me. And that's why I'm blessed with a relationship with you, hearing with you and walking with you. How much more then do I want to do likewise? It's when we begin to appreciate what God has done for us, how He saved us. He didn't have to, but somebody, somewhere, went in their closet and identified with the great high priest on your behalf. If you truly know that and are touched by that, how much more then do we have the desire and heart and spirit to do likewise? I believe, brothers and sisters, if we really take this one seriously, we are going to see major breakthroughs in this assembly we're waiting for. There are things that have gone on too long. God is going to change that. But it only comes as a result of identification with God. That is the key to intercession. Am I today identified with you? Am I one with you? Because if you're not, you're not in that place. You're not qualified to pray. But if we're meeting those conditions, then we will. And we're going to know that every time we have prayed and intercede, when we get up off our knees, we know that our Heavenly Father has heard us. We know that our prayers and intercessions are heard, and we couldn't doubt if we even tried. That is touching God in prayer. But if you are still wavering in prayer and you're not sure whether you've been heard or you're not sure what's happening or whatever it is, then that is unbelief working. That is wavering, which James speaks about. True intercession is one who's identified with God in prayer at that point, praying it through until you know you have touched the throne of grace. And when you get up from that praying, you know without a shadow of a doubt that that prayer is answered in Jesus' name, and you're simply waiting to see the manifestation of it. That is the experience God is trying to bring us into as Christians, into prayer. That you know your prayers have been answered. That is why the Holy Spirit is vital in leading and guiding us in prayer, because we don't know how to pray unless the Holy Spirit teaches us. And we'll only ever know if we ask God to do that in our lives. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, again tonight we want to thank you for our teaching. We want to thank you for, yes, you have exposed Yes, you have revealed, Father, where maybe we're getting it wrong with prayer. But that's always a sign that you love us. And you desire that we get it right. Father, I pray that what we have heard tonight, we may apply. Help us to pray. But as we've heard tonight, our prayer is all about our identification with you. And if we're not identified with you, then we cannot pray and supplicate. Because we don't know those things that would be upon your heart. Help us, Father, not to be consumed in our wants and our prayers and what we think is right and so forth. But help us, Lord, to stand in the gap, to pray for others. That is the sacrifice of prayer. And so, Lord, tonight I thank you for our time of fellowship. Thank you for bringing all the saints into the room. I pray you'll mightily bless, preserve and keep them always under the blood of Jesus until we assemble again, because we ask this now in Jesus' name.
Washed us in.